your hands together for Ryan McLaughlin from the great band Blues Traveler. He's here all night, everybody. Man. A lot of people don't know that there's a Q chord player in Blues Traveler, but he's been there for the entire run. If you listen carefully, you can't hear him. It's going to be
This is great. On a keyboard, Brandon.
Don't talk during the monologue. The last time I was here, I was drinking screwdrivers because I was under the weather. It's been 30 days. I'm still under the weather. That's not right, right? Like, I think I have AIDS. It's not good. That's not a healthy thing to do. That's not right. I, in theory, have nothing wrong with me. Well, apparently I have a lot wrong with me. I know what's wrong with me. I won't stop going to events where they give me alcohol and I won't stop smoking cigarettes. That's just my lifestyle. That's fine. I'm still sick because I'm traveling, guys. I'm traveling a lot. I'm traveling like a champion, guys. The past month, since the last show here, I did a show at South by Southwest. And that was great and ultimately pointless. I'm really glad I did that. It was a lot of fun. Changed the world, guys. And I did a show in New York City, and it was great, because New York, right? All right, so the South by Southwest show was actually genuinely one of the best shows you ever did. Like, our guest on the show had to go and do the Tonight Show two nights later. Our other guest was on Comedy Central the next week. One of the best bands that's ever been on the show played. It was an amazing trip. The problem with that trip is I traveled like a poor person because of money, and I stayed in a murder house. Do you guys know what a murder house is? A murder house is when you stay with a friend that you hadn't seen since college, and he's been playing in a metal band, a really good metal band, for about 8 years, and he has a mustache and beard so thick it's in his mouth. He lives with a and that's good. This is not a knock on him whatsoever. Or his bandmate, another guy, crazy facial hair. When I say crazy facial hair, I mean like, he's got a beard to his nipples, but it's still in, like, splotchy. I don't know how that happens, but he figured out how to make it happen. It's not like intentionally putting shitty holes in his face. It's just how it is, and that's fine. Those two gentlemen, the bassist and the guitarist in that band, fucking awesome. They didn't tell me that the guy that they kicked out of the band also still lived there. They didn't know he'd be showing up. So no one told us at 3 a.m., when a masked man with a motorcycle helmet on and assless leather chaps walks in to murder us, that he was going to be there. And I don't know about you guys, but I have Netflix, and I know how to stream shit, but not everyone does. And he didn't know that the ending of Breaking Bad happened 8 months ago. So we had to stay up with him for the next 3 hours while he watched the first three episodes of part two of the last season of Breaking Bad. Fuck you, AMC, for splitting that shit up. That's some bullshit. You almost murdered me. Anyways, I went with my good friend, my co-host, Stephanie Haas, and she's a petite woman. She's maybe 5'3". She's got red hair. She's adorable. Perfect victim. So she was sleeping on the fold-out bed from the couch. By the way, the couch didn't have cushions. It had a wood plank. I go, why? What happened to the cushions? I don't know. How do you lose cushions? They lost two of three cushions, and the other one was just on a different chair to fuck with the symmetry of the couch. Anyways, she's trying to sleep, and after the third episode of Breaking Bad, the murderer decides, I'm going to go to sleep. But he wasn't going to sleep. He's a murderer, and murderers don't sleep. They like to fuck around all night and just tiptoe around. And then he tried to kiss Stephanie Haas while she was sleeping. And then she giggled, because that's what happens at the start of a sexual assault. She just giggled out of fear. And I'm a married man. I don't want to have to sleep with my friend. Guess what happened? I slept with my friend. I didn't touch her, not once. We had to share the same bed. I heard the murderer creeping around for another 4 hours, but he stopped that when he realized I was in the bed with her. Then we did a show. It was a show, whatever. That was Texas for me. That was the first night. I signed up, no joke, I signed up for the official South by Southwest 10K. That's a thing I signed up for. I wanted to run the 10K to say I did it, but I couldn't because I didn't sleep. That's one of the reasons I'm sick. Another reason I'm always sick is I'm taking the bus to New York like a fucking loser. I don't like doing this. It's no longer fun. The shows are great, honestly. The shows themselves, The 90 minutes that we're on stage at the Creek in the Cave, some of the best times of my life. The 4 hours there and the 4 hours back, just consistent questioning. Is this failure or is this success? It's one or the other. It's not in the middle. It's horrible. So I'm listening to a lot of records. I'm listening to a lot of records to fill my head with, in theory, good art, people living their dreams. And I mean, it's amazing. Like, I'm listening to this band called Landlady, and they're bad. I'm listening to this band from Mexico called Little Jesus. That's a fun band. That's a fun name for a band. I'm listening to this band called The Wet Secrets. That's a horrible name for a band, but they're fun. They wear marching band outfits, and they're from Canada, so they're nice people. I listened to a band called Death Vessel, and it sounds like a lady, but it's a man, and they're good. I listened to a new Angel Olsen record, and that's weird because she used to play my talk show, and now she's important. When I say important, I mean she sells like 10,000 records, and like 100 critics write like 10 think pieces about her, and that counts as success these days, but whatever. And then I listened to Warpaint. You know, Warpaint, it's this big band, Warpaint, everyone loves, and it sucks shit. It's a horrible record. I don't understand it. And I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to listen to the next album that whatever publicist sends me next. And it's a My Chemical Romance Greatest Hits record. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to do it. I got some free Wi-Fi on this Bolt Bus. Give it up for official sponsor of the show, Bolt Bus. Tickets as low as a dollar. BoltBus.com. Bolt Bus. I'm listening to My Chemical Romance. I've heard all these songs because I grew up, and I'm fucking digging it, man. I think I like garbage music. I'm not talking about the record that's actually good. They have this amazing album called The Black Parade. Not a joke. It's like if you like Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, but were a little bit angrier, and you had a cancer fantasy. Like if you had that specific thing, you would love that record. It's no joke. It's a gorgeous record. I'm liking the first record where it sounds like my friends are playing in the basement and I'm 17. I think I'm becoming a garbage person. I'm getting younger and older at the same time. I think I'm ready for late night. I'm not ready for late night. And here's where we're going to talk about the thing that Letterman, blah, 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 fuck it. All right, Letterman. Letterman's incredibly important. I've already seen 5 to 10 think pieces about how Letterman sucks and or he was great and or it should be a woman and or women shouldn't care because the show always sucked and or how it should be a black guy and or how it should be a black woman and or no one's going to ever care again. I think I figured out the perfect way to replace David Letterman. Just hear me out. My favorite part about The Late Show is David Letterman's relationship with this wonderful person named Amy Sedaris. What he's able to do with her, just using words, not some song and dance shit, not some beer pong shit, not having the Roots play, but actual adult material is amazing. It's amazing. Yes, fuck Fallon. That's what I was getting at. Because I had a chance before I said that. Because everyone knows Lorne Michaels loves podcasts. Especially from the D.C. and Chicago area. That's where he gets all of his talent. There's one guy that could possibly take over for Letterman that would be acceptable. It's not Stephen Colbert. It's not Craig Ferguson. It's a man that has almost as much experience as David Letterman. And that man currently has no job. And he's proven himself to be amazing at his job. And that man is Jay Leno. Guys, we need to give Jay Leno a chance here. Let's get him in an edgy show. Okay, you're thinking like, oh, Jay Leno sucks. Yeah, but do you remember when he had the Dancing Itos? That shit was funny, man. I'm just throwing this out here. Every 3 months, Jay Leno and the Dancing Itos come out, they do some racist shit, and it fucking destroys late night, and then people kill themselves around the world. It's gonna be amazing. Guys, I'm changing the entire premise of this show. Yes, I got a lot of guests tonight, but this is really a let's replace Letterman with Leno year-long campaign. I think we could get some traction on this. Hashtag Leno for Letterman. It's a really long hashtag. I'll figure out a shorter one. But let's, for now, hashtag Leno for Letterman. We could do this if we try. Guys, we're going to have a fantastic show. You've already heard him play once. Please put your hands together once again for Ryan McLaughlin from the great band Blues Traveler, everybody. Thank you. Give it up for Ryan McLaughlin from the Great Plan Blues Traveler. You could use the mic right now. Now, I wanted to know, did you play that beautiful tribute to the Beatles, the song Michelle?
I wrote that.
Because Michelle is a consistent guest on both the David Letterman show and the Jimmy Fallon show.
No, I wrote that because my wife is named Michelle, Brandon.
You wrote that?
On my keyboard.
Did you think you'd get more laughs for saying that?
Yes.
Okay. Coming to the stage is a very funny man. He's a friend of mine. You ready to play him on?
Oh, yeah.
Play him. All right. Play another song you wrote for your wife 40 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Haywood Turnipseed Jr., everybody. We're doing color commentary. He made it, everybody.
That was great intro music, dude. What the fuck? That Fisher Price thing was playing. I think my son has one of those. That is awesome. Play something else. Play something else. You got some hip hop in there, don't you?
I have dance.
No.
You ready?
That's not. I don't even like Daft Punk like that. Oh, shit. The people can't see it. It's a podcast.
Thank you for understanding how this show works. I appreciate it.
I do. Hey, Brandon, how you been?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's get this mic.
We do a segment on the show called Color Commentary. Why do we do that segment?
We do color commentary so that we can comment on the world through the lens of color.
Makes people comfortable in bars.
People who aren't gentrifying the neighborhood. They're like, hey, man, shut up. We're giving you scholarships.
That's fair. Okay, what do we want to talk about today?
You know, what do we want to talk about today? I love what you were talking about with Letterman. That was so awesome. You're right. Jay Leno should be allowed to host him or Arsenio.
Leno for Letterman. Actually, no, I kind of like Arsenio's show right now.
I don't. It is so white. It is so white.
Arsenio
was the whitest thing on TV when I was growing. Actually, I think they should have Oprah replace David Letterman, and that would be awesome. See, look at the white woman clapping. She'd be like, I'd watch late night TV if Oprah was on it.
Oprah has an entire network.
That nobody watches. How
That's on you.
Is that?
That's on you.
Why? Because I'm black? What the fuck?
Because you're advocating.
Should I have to watch it?
If you're advocating for the person.
I cannot watch The Color Purple 24 hours a day.
We're different people. All right, what do you actually want to talk about that?
Yeah, so what do we want to talk about?
Do you want to talk about late night, or do you want to talk about what we were going to talk about?
We can talk about late night. We can talk about the lack of minorities in late night. We can talk about how Jimmy Fallon is like the hippest dude in late night.
Okay, is he?
Well, the Roots are.
Are they?
The
are
Roots
they
are the hippest band in late night. We got this guy. They got fucking Questlove, man. Questlove trumps this guy. No offense, this guy.
Welcome.
I thought that was pretty good.
You are on your way. Give this nigga a record deal.
Do you still like the Roots after what they're doing?
I love the Roots. The Roots, you know why I love the Roots even more since they've been on Sesame Street? Since they've been on Jimmy Fallon. It's the same goddamn thing.
Haywood's a father.
I am a father.
And there are two young children in the house. It makes sense.
Well, late night, as for comedy research, I watched The Tonight Show. Used to watch the Jimmy Fallon Show. All those late night shows. But during the day, I got to watch Sesame Street. Jimmy Fallon and The Roots redid the Sesame Street theme song. So I get to share The Roots and my marijuana with my child. It is quite awesome. Sunny day.
I don't know what I'm more offended at, the fact that you get high with your children or the fact that you share Jimmy Fallon with your children.
Well, getting high with my children is how I teach them how to share.
That's nice, actually. That's nice.
Thank you. Now I'm going to jail.
I don't think cops listen to podcasts.
Yes, they do. What do you think they're doing in their cars? Anyway, the whole point
probably is persecuting minorities and trying to steal money.
Color commentary, ladies and gentlemen, color commentary. There is a lack of diversity on late night. There should be a female host. Like your show. Your show is great in the aspect that you give a lot. Like, you are a white guy. You are a white male.
I am a white male.
And you're from
For the listener at home, if you couldn't hear by everything I've ever said, done, or look like, I am a white man.
No, the listener might not have seen him. He is a white guy. Like, right now, he's wearing a Cubs jacket with a tie. They only do that in the north side of Chicago. Chicago, where they sell brats.
Yep, that's what we say. Chicago, where we sell brats.
That's right, sausages. Which is funny to me because Chicago was founded by a black man, but we'll talk about that years from now.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They don't know
he
that.
It.
They don't, yeah,
I know that.
You know that because you're from Chicago.
That's true.
You took his house.
You're from Gary.
Indiana. So the point that we're making is there is a, like your show has great diversity. Like you allow me, a nice young couple.
I allow you.
Well, you do. You don't have to have me on your show. You can have this guy doing his thing all night long.
It's pretty good.
Like you have a
for
nice
the listener, he's talking about me, the music.
They know you're this guy by now, this guy. I have labeled you this guy. He has tattoos, guys. I'm a get my ass
for
kicked.
The listener at home, Ryan does have tattoos.
Like
moving
on his finger knuckles, though. On his knuckles.
On
like
his finger knuckles, not his other knuckles.
That's Sons of Anarchy type shit. That is.
Yeah, I'd watch out if I were you.
He might hit me over the head with that and take my woman and make me sell cocaine or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Way to go, Jax. We are so off topic. We are comedy.
No, this is perfect.
No, but we're talking about late night television. We're talking about the lack of diversity. Like, your show is very diverse. Like, you had Natalie McGill open the show, young African-American female, young colored female. You have myself, young colored gentleman. You have a lot of, like, women folk on your show. You have homosexuals on your show.
That's
like, Duck Dynasty hates your fucking show. Really. Like, so if you had a late night show, it would be filled with us. But... So you might not get a late night show.
I'm not getting a late night show.
Yes, you are.
I have to make my own.
Don't
late
we want
show.
Brandon Weatherby on late night?
No. Wait.
You know why we want Brandon Weatherby on late night?
So you can get on late night?
Well, that's one. Two, because I don't know any Negroes with the last name Weatherby, which means you didn't own slaves. Like most of the white people in the audience, they're like, that wasn't me. My peoples came here in the early 1900s.
Ditto.
I know.
Here's the slave thing. Here's the premise of the slave thing.
No,
you'll never meet someone that owns slaves in their lineage if you only meet other stand-up comics.
Well, here's what I'll never meet. I don't ever meet white people with the last name Jefferson anymore.
That's true. But they exist.
Or Washington.
That's true.
And it's all Negroes now. That is hilarious to me.
It's hilarious to no one else.
That's because they're like, is he going to say Smith? Because that's my name.
I would love if you had a late night show and you just asked the guests, did you own slaves?
Did your people own slaves? How did you get to this country?
Yeah.
When did your people come here? What year? What year did they come? That would be awesome. I would enter. Oh, my God. Tom Cruise would hate me. I'd be like, look, Tom Cruise, first of all, what's your real name?
Hubbard.
You had me at Hubbard, motherfucker. But anyway, the point that we're making is, there was a newspaper article that literally said late night, you know, it was talking about late night and how Jimmy Fallon was the king of late night, and it was in Variety, and it was whitewashed. It was all white people. And Arsenio was like, yo, wait a minute. I have a show that's on, like, right now. Can you at least admit that? And they were like, no, nobody's watching it. It's okay. And you don't have the roots.
Now it's all sad because people feel bad.
We talked about slavery first. And then we talked about white people owning slaves and nighttime TV. That is terrible. That is 24 hours a day. We got to deal with y'all's bullshit. That is. Now you see why I smoke marijuana with my child. White people all the time.
Who should take over for Letterman then?
I personally would like to see like maybe Damon Wayans take over for Letterman. Somebody that's, you know, just somebody funny, man. Like, I love Letterman, but I want somebody that's in tune with the times and in touch
with
the right
now. Wait,
and
your idea is Damon Wayans?
Well, he tweets. Letterman
that's
don't
fair.
Even tweet.
That's fair.
At least, somebody who at least tweets, who at least understands what Twitter is. And while I love David Letterman, at one point he tried to buy the word nigga, but the dude who owns it was like, I'm not going to sell it. I sold them. I'm not going to sell it, too. Way to make these guys uncomfortable. Play me something, this guy. Whip it good.
All right. We got one more minute on this segment.
Or Tim Meadows. I like Tim Meadows. Tim Meadows is in the DC. I don't know. I just
Tim
like
Meadows is playing the Draft House this month. I don't think
he's a funny dude.
I don't think he's got
a shot.
But
I would like Tim Meadows as the lady man, as the ladies man hosting late night. Like every
that would be great, actually.
Like he would say, like, do you really want a fish sandwich? Awesome. He would ask women all the time. He would interview Prince, and then Prince would be like, do you like pancakes? On my fish sandwich.
I want to be in your head.
No, too much weed up there. Too much weed up there. No white people can fit anymore.
Anymore?
That's what the 80s were all about, getting rid of all the white people in my head. Johnny Carson's and Bob Hope's.
What were the 90s about?
Getting all the white women out my head.
Well, we're not going to top that. You should follow Haywood on Twitter. It's @WoodySeed. Haywood, you got anything to plug?
Yes, I do. Actually, here at the Wonderland Ballroom, 420 Easter Sunday.
Are you seriously doing a 420 show?
Yes. What else would I be doing that day?
Hanging out with your children.
They will be here.
There you go.
Put them to work. I know what good slaves should be doing.
Play something at the fucking, when he says something horrible like that. There you go. Hey.
Hold on. I got two young children. I could call them cotton pickers if I want to. They're getting on my cotton picking nerves. Play me something, get out of here. Thank you, sir.
Haywood Turnip Seed Jr., everybody. I think that was three songs in one. I'm really enjoying this. Ryan could be seen all summer with Blues Traveler. They're playing the Horde Fest. Check them out. Go to hordefest.net. Okay, coming to the stage is a very interesting man. He does something that I actually go to usually after this show. He's one of the people behind the incredible DJ night called We Fought the Big One. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Rick Taylor, everybody. Rick, come to the stage. I actually feel that was somewhat appropriate music for what you do.
Entirely appropriate. Just perfect.
For the people that aren't in D.C., what is We Fought the Big One?
We Fought the Big One is a monthly DJ night where we spin the kind of music that the BBC DJ John Peel specialized in, which is off-kilter, post-punk, underground DIY, quirky left-of-center pop music, basically anything that's not corporate pop.
And there's always a theme to the evening.
Well,
there's
generally.
Usually a theme to the evening.
Yes, there is.
What are always. Some of those themes?
French electronic music, Scottish DIY.
So what you're saying is there's a huge crowd for this type of music in D.C., and that's why you're at the Intimate Marks Cafe.
Cult audience, my friend.
It's a very
all
cult audience.
All about the cult audience.
So what you do is very inspiring to people like me because I used to, in theory, be like you, which meant I would try to find new music and care, but then I didn't. What can I be doing? What happened? What's wrong with me, and why are you good at liking new stuff?
It's not you.
No, it is me.
No, it's not you.
It's not me, it's you.
I think there's a lot of good music being made today, but personally, I'm more interested in the music that was made in the late 70s and the early 80s.
When were you made?
Oh. Well, here's the thing, is that I wasn't listening to that music back then. So I'm not tied to it with nostalgia. I was listening to Michael Jackson in 1983, 84.
Really? You were listening to Michael Jackson?
Yeah, indeed.
Why?
Still like him.
You still like Michael Jackson? You know
I
he
do.
Did. You know what he did, right? He did horrible things to people. This loses the crowd every time, and I will never not do this. You think I'm ready for late night? Go ahead. But so you were like a pop fan. You were just a normal kid.
I was.
So what?
Yeah, I just listened to the top 40 radio back in the 80s.
What was the start of this? Were you a college radio DJ? Were you doing zines? I did zines. Cred, guys. By the way, I'm the only person ever to own a 1989 Cubs starter jacket and produced more than 5 zines.
Clearly, I'm sitting next to a very special individual.
Special's a good word for it. Anyways, what got you into this stuff?
I've always been a rabid music fan, but just over time, my taste has evolved. And actually, when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I was a really big fan of...
You don't know what that word means.
I don't think I do.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I was very much into underground metal, extreme metal.
Really? Give me a band that I should know about. Completely sincere.
Let's see. Gosh, you're putting me on the spot here.
Let's talk show.
I really
You could lie. No one will know these band names.
I really liked a band called Napalm Death.
Everyone knows Napalm Death. They're a fan fave. That's the first time that's ever been said about Napalm Death. Napalm Death, though.
Have you ever heard of the Maryland Death Fest?
Yeah.
I think I was at the very first Maryland Death Fest.
Oh, that's cute.
Early.
That's actually cute.
It was. It was kind of cute in its own weird way.
Do you have a child?
I do not.
Do you want a child? You could lie if it makes you feel uncomfortable.
I'm open to what life has to for me.
I've always thought if I have a child and they go the metal route, totally fine with it. I'm completely serious. Totally fine with it. Totally fine with the metal route. Punk rock route, pretty good. Garage rock route, I'd say that's my route. No, that's stupid. Don't do that. Because then you got to get a lot of pomade for your hair. You got to hang out in the same bars every night. But if you're in a punk thing, you can do a DIY and be healthy. And if you're a metal guy, instant friends. You got a lot of t-shirts that's comfortable. You don't got to worry about their wardrobe. Fun facial hair stuff.
Clearly.
Good finger dexterity. Probably good on a keyboard. That's a good paying job. I think metalhead is the way to go.
Let me ask you a question.
Feel free.
Are you familiar with a hair metal band called Warrant?
Yeah.
Okay, now I was never listening to them back in the day.
Yeah, they're horrible. Go ahead.
So their first album is called Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Okay.
Do you know what the album looks like?
No. Should I Google it now?
It has...
Sorry, Bing it. Bing is our official sponsor, guys. Bing it. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So I bring up this album cover because it has this disgusting, fat, bald, rich guy... With an evil
Wait,
grin on
how
his
do you
face.
Know he's a rich guy?
Well, that's the point, I think.
All right.
But I've always envisioned that guy represents the music industry. That guy represents the people that run the music industry.
Okay.
And so whenever I think about DJing and playing music that's outside the corporate music sphere, I always think about basically giving that guy the finger.
For the listener at home, if you're too lazy to Bing the cover, it's an animated, very large man, I'm counting six chins here, it's a cartoon, with lots of dollar bills. If you're going to stuff your ears with money, why would you use dollar bills on one ear, and then the other ear is $100 bills, and he's smoking a dollar bill cigar, and he has multiple rings on. He just looks like a cast member of The Sopranos. I don't know what you're talking about. See, the Sopranos had fat people on the show. That's what I was saying. Go ahead.
All I was going to say was that those are the kind of people that I think run the music business. And
see, you're kind of wrong.
Educate me. Enlighten me.
My friend used to work at Warner, and this was at the time when, like, now there's three, and she was there with one of them. You know who runs the music industry? Kids of people like that. So people that look like you or me, lots of starter jackets everywhere. And they're just... No, they're just like 35-year-old, 40-year-old guys that like hopefully will pick up the tab at the end of the night. They're still horrible people. Don't get me wrong.
Six chins?
No, their dads do. They got dads, but they have personal trainers, so it's really good. They look really great, guys. So don't knock the music industry. They're fit. That's all I'm saying. What is one artist that's local that's still around that people need to know about?
There's a really great artist called Teething Veils.
I love Teething Veils.
Yeah. Teething Veils is actually a singer-songwriter.
I know.
Inspired by Leonard Cohen. And Teething Veils is an artist named Greg Savittle.
Yep.
And he's incredibly talented.
I agree.
Beautiful, heart-wrenching songs. And he's really, in my humble opinion, DC's best-kept musical secret.
And Teething Veils occasionally, like, they went on tour last summer. So occasionally they'll play with a band. But on record, it's pretty much Greg.
Right.
I agree. That's a good one.
And they actually have a show next Thursday at The Pinch. So if you guys aren't doing anything next Thursday, great show at The Pinch.
That's a good plug. I like that plug. I like that you know how to
I'm
plug.
All about the plugs.
Plugs are good.
And speaking of plugs, this is for you.
You brought me a thing? Holy shit. Oh, I was going to come later and buy this, but this is way better than me paying for stuff. Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Now let's see what size it is. Hold on.
Extra large. You're a
you
big guy.
You think I'm a fat fuck. God damn it. You insulted me by your generosity.
You're a tall guy.
I'm a tall, yeah,
it's
tall.
All, about height.
All tall guys
it's
have
about
to wear XLs.
It's height, not width.
I was a medium 3 months ago. And then shows happened, and now I'm a large.
It'll shrink into you, man.
You're selling these tonight, correct?
It is tonight.
And it's at the first Friday of every month. And
the first Friday of every month at the Mark's Cafe. If you want to hear some really interesting, edgy, post-punk, weird, DIY, pop.
It's so
catchy.
I hope that Marx doesn't get offended by this, but I love when you walk like half the room. I'm completely serious. Sometimes I'll show up and then like you start at 10, and sometimes I'll get there after this show and it'll be like 9:50, And then by 10:30, it's like, nope, fuck off, we're leaving. And then your people come in around 11. So there's like this wonderful 30-minute break where it's just like, me! That's probably horrible for them to hear. Sorry about that.
It's all good, man.
Do you want to still do this 10 years from now?
I love music, and I'll tell you this. I've never had my music passion diminish at all. And I think most people
We're different people!
Most people have their music moment in college, right? I mean, that's when you really get into music.
Yeah.
And then after college, you start a job, you get married, and you kind of lose interest in music. You're focused on other things. For me, the passion just continues to grow. So.
Have you heard about My Chemical Romance? Thoughts? You want me to play you one of their tunes? They're horrible songs. Horrible.
I can't believe you're going there.
You don't like My Chemical Romance, MCR, for the kids?
I have not heard them.
They broke up, you know. This is their, that's why they have a greatest hits album.
Were they that terrible band that did the music for The Watchmen?
I don't know. This is so bad. Like, there's no hook.
This is awful.
Let me skip to the part where he sings, because that's...
Next band.
That's what it sounds like to me. I listened to that the whole way here, smiling ear to ear, smiling at babies. I'm like, I'm listening to Garbage Babies. Not the band Garbage. They didn't age well. It's real sad.
They didn't.
They didn't age well. No. Not talking about looks, like musically. Didn't.
Haven't been paying too much attention to
MCR, that. When are you going to do My Chemical Romance? We fought the big one theme night.
Let's not.
Why? Why don't you want good things in your life?
I think that just might be a little too good for me.
That's the point. Guys, if you want good but not too good, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you go to this night. Genuinely, it's one of my favorite nights. It's the only time you'll ever see me in the Marks Cafe because I'm not a fan of soccer.
Well, actually, I just want to say this, that there are a lot of really interesting DJ nights that happen at the Marks Cafe.
Fuck off. No, there's not. There's just yours. Everyone else should kill themselves because there's just you.
There's great DJ nights there.
I'm wrong? Okay, give me one plug that you
there's
like.
There's a great DJ night there called Outlaws.
Outlaws is good, yeah.
Do any of you guys know Outlaws?
Yeah, because Ryan Hunter Mitchell needs more plugs in this city. Yeah, okay.
But how many DJ nights do you know about where you can actually hear classic country music? It's pretty cool.
Any good bar with a jukebox.
You are mistaken, my friend.
No, that's why I like your night, because I've heard maybe 5% of the music you play. Oh, another cool thing that he does is most nights you give away a CD. Is that correct?
I do.
Those are the only CDs that I actually keep on CD and listen to on CD, because if I put them in my collection and they came up on shuffle, I would have no idea what the fuck I was listening to. They're amazing. So if you're ever going on a road trip, I highly recommend that you go to Mark's Cafe for We Bought the Big One and pick up one of these weirdo fucking CDs that you will never find anywhere else.
The CDs that Brandon is talking about, a lot of them have songs on them that have never actually been released on CD. Because,
and there's a reason.
Well, actually, here's the reason is that I think our understanding of punk rock and post-punk to a certain extent is limited by what the major labels have told us. There was an incredible scene that happened in England, especially right after the Sex Pistols broke, and you had tons and tons of bands cutting their own 7-inches. You had this huge DIY scene. None of those records made it over to America. So the English kids all heard that stuff on the John Peel show. But then when I play it at the Marks Cafe, people don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So then when I put it on the CDs, it's just, people haven't heard it before.
But you also put like weird guys like screaming into an accordion and shit like that too.
It's not all about variety, man.
Exactly. So I highly recommend that you go tonight, the first Friday of every month. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Rick.
Thank you.
From We Fought the Big One. Play him off, Ryan McLaughlin from the great band Blues Traveler.
Brandon, I'm playing Blues Traveler.
It's good. I like it. I like whenever I hear your art.
We're playing the whole thing.
No. Fantastic, fantastic. That was only Ryan McLaughlin from the great band Blues Traveler, everybody. Check them out this summer playing with Sugar Ray. All on a cruise. It's going to be amazing. We Fought the Big One will only be DJing at 1 a.m. on the Thursday night of the cruise, so make sure you're there for that. Coming to stage, this guy is great. I thought he's been on the show 2 years ago. Turns out I was just a dick. asked him last month, haven't you done this show before? He's like, nope. All right, fuck me. I like him. He's a funny man. And most importantly, regardless of comedy, sweet haircut. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the very funny Mr. Bill Metzger, everybody. Bill, come to the stage.
Thank you. Perfect. Yeah, haircut. Got a haircut. Because I'm employed now, so...
Yeah!
Yeah. So I splurged and got a haircut yesterday and tried to take notes when the guy was styling it because you can't ever fucking repeat what they do when they fucking... the guy has his hands in your hair. So I'm trying to like, okay, you know, he moved part of the hair like that way. And so today... before the show, it was like the first day, I was like, I got to do this myself. And so I'm like, I'm trying to do it, like, fix it. And I get out of the bathroom, and my girlfriend's like, ha, you kind of look like a Nazi. And I was like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean I look like a Nazi? She's like, oh, it's not, I didn't mean it in a bad way. I just meant like a funny, I was trying to be funny. It was like, how else am I supposed to take you look like a Nazi? That's only bad. So I went back in the bathroom and I looked at it and I was like, I fucking look like a Nazi. If this shit falls, I went out and bought hairspray to fucking put it up and back and shit. If David, my fucking stylist, saw this, he would flip his shit. But I just like put it back because the way I had it definitely looked like a disheveled Hitler, like smoking cigarettes in a bunker and the fucking Russians are coming. Like it looked like that. And I've gotten comments that you look very German. Now I know. I've gotten that comment. I got it twice today. I'm like, you mean Nazi? I know what you meant to say. You said German, but I know what you meant. We'll get it pictures of Hitler, like what not to do. Like, okay, don't do that. Like, why did Spill have a picture of Hitler taped on the bathroom mirror? Oh, that's just a thing. He just doesn't want to look like Hitler. He's just paranoid that he looks like Hitler. What a fucking thing to be paranoid about. Hey, man. Hey, I don't look like Hitler tonight or anything, do I? No, I look like Hitler. Okay, good. All right. Great. I don't think the mustache helps either. But it's a normal mustache. It's not like the Charlie Chaplin thing. Whatever. I have a job now. It's awesome. Didn't I was unemployed for like a week, job searching. I got fired. I got fired a month and a half ago from my job via text message. Via text message. It's so fucking insane. Dude fired me. He's like, I'm so... It was like getting broken up with. It was like an ex-girlfriend breaking up with you. Like, I'm sick of this. This is over. I'm like, what? It's over? You can't like pull me into your office or anything? It has to be done via SMS text message. So he fired me on a Thursday night. And I had never been fired before. And I discovered that at first, it's awesome. Because... everyone feels so bad for you. They're like, oh my God, you got fired. Do you want to do a shot? I'm like, yeah, cool. It's like your birthday. It's like turning 21. Come on, let's do a shot. Everybody, Bill got fired. Let's all do shots. Woo! It was fun. So I drug it out. Like, girls drag their birthdays out. Like, they have birthday weeks, which I've never understood. Like, Wednesday's dinner with Stephanie. Thursday's for the girls. And then Friday's my actual birthday. And then... after that, it's like post-birthday brunch. So I kind of understood that a little bit, and I dragged it out over the whole weekend. It's like, I'm not doing anything. I got fired. I'm just going to sit on the couch, feel bad for myself. And that lasted until Monday at noon. The following Monday at noon, it was like a countdown, like a New Year's Eve countdown, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, depression! Bam, 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 bam. The thing about the text message was that it was like, it felt like getting broken up with, and this job was like beating me to the ground. I was working so much. So when I got that message, I was just like I fucking didn't want to be with this girl. That's what it felt. Does that make any sense? Just like, oh, thank God she did the work. Like, that's... that's how it felt, except you can't go out and fuck other jobs like that. You know what I mean? I had that like, oh yeah, I'm gonna fuck all the jobs. Oh shit. I just gotta get another one. I'm gonna fuck the first job I see. I don't give a shit. If it's a fat job or a stuck up job. So I had a job search and I made a LinkedIn profile. Fucking exactly like OKCupid. Holy shit. Like the correlation, you're just trying to make yourself look fucking, you take a nice picture and try to make it like, I'm a telemarketer, commuter, fucking young professional. Same thing. But I'm bad at OKCupid, so I was like, yo, girl, send me a picture of your salary. Let's do lunch. But I'm bad at OKCupid. I only did it for like a week. But afterwards, I found out what you're not supposed to do is print your profile out and hand it out at bars with like highlighted. I've highlighted the important parts. If you need pictures, I'll be standing over here. Silly. My time's freed up now. Well, now I have a job, but I started smoking pot a lot, and it's fun. I stopped smoking pot just after. When I say stop, I mean like I'd smoke pot at parties, but after like 4 years ago, I was smoking pot a lot, and I stopped. And I stopped because I hit a deer while I was high. In my car, I wasn't like in the woods, like fuck you, deer, bam. Because you know when you're high, you're not angry. So, so I was in my car. Don't recommend it. I didn't hit him. Like I didn't hit him. He came. He ran out of the woods and hit me, and he hit my front left of my car, and he like flipped upside down. And because I was high, I made eye contact with him for like 10 seconds. And he had this look on his face, like what's happening? I've never been upside down. Like he had no idea what was going on. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. All in 10 seconds. I was like, I'm so sorry. I just wanted Doritos to taste better. I didn't mean for you to be upside down in the air. And I felt bad. Later on, I was like, maybe he just flew away. But no, I was high. He didn't. I was high. Thank you guys very much.
Bill, sit down. Bring the microphone. Good job. All right. Sorry, I thought you were on the show 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago?
Or whenever I met you.
You were doing the show 2 years ago?
This is episode 320.
No, it's okay. Actually, this dude does the 8x8. The 8x8 comedy special that you do?
Yeah, it's a weekly special.
You invited me to that. What was it? Last week was the last one?
I think. I don't know.
You sent me a message. You're like, hey, do you want to do 8x8? And so I came off of unemployment, and I now have two jobs, part-time and full-time. And I was getting off my full-time job and going to my part-time job, and you sent me that message, and I was like, fuck. So I am quitting my part-time job because of you, because I was like,
no, don't touch me for that. Yeah, don't celebrate that. You need money.
No, I don't.
That show doesn't pay. You need money.
No, I'm not. I didn't want money for your stupid show. All
right, you need to prioritize. You're a performer, and you deserve to get paid. Don't ever say yes to me again. Number two, take the part-time job. Go do that shit, bro.
I'm not. I don't need to go.
By the way, I have to legally say bro whenever I wear this coat. You're funny.
Thank you.
How'd that happen?
Fucking a long time.
Perfect. People should follow you on Twitter.
Yes, at Bill Metzger. M-E-T-Z-G-E-R means the butcher in German. Nazi.
Oh, seriously? Mm-hmm. That's, you need a different haircut. Wear hats or some shit.
Why?
Because your name means the butcher and
it
you
means
look
the
like
butcher,
you.
And I've got the Nazi thing, yeah.
Hey, Haywood, he owns slaves. Okay.
Wait, what?
What?
You know, I just killed a bunch of people. It's totally different. He's cool. We're cool because I killed other people.
You're from Richmond, the capital of the South.
Yeah.
And your last name's the butcher in German.
Yeah.
And you have that haircut.
What's your point? I don't even know.
You have to go now.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the extremely funny Mr. Bill Metzger, everybody. Thank you. One of the things a lot of people don't know about this show is it actually does take a lot of work. For example, Ryan came out here. He's got a busy schedule with Blues Traveler. We have these guests, but I'm not a... No, don't play that again. Not yet, at least. We have these amazing guests, but a lot of people don't know I actually do have an intern. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to please put your hands together for my intern, Mike Smith. He came all the way from Utah tonight, so please play him on, everybody. Please play him on, Ryan. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm charmed and I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Brandon. Thank you.
Anytime, buddy. Now, you've been interning for me.
I've been an intern for the last 6 months. I'm getting credit at the University of Salt Lake City, yep. Utah, where I am from, where I've lived my whole life.
Yep. Now, how did you hear about the show?
I heard about the show because I needed a credit for my class at the University of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Thank you.
Where I am from. And I have lived from the time my mother queefed me out of her pussy 21 years ago. I'm young. And I have lived in Utah definitely my entire life. Thank you.
Now, Mike, what's your nationality?
I'm from Utah.
Okay, good. You're from Utah. That's fantastic. And you're now, since I've known you, you've seemed a lot older than 21.
Of course I seem a little bit older than 21. Because I have street smarts, okay? I grew up in Utah on the tough streets of Salt Lake City where you could get bang knocked in the face anytime.
See, I've never heard that about Salt Lake City.
And I had a couple ideas for your show.
What are your ideas?
Wow, I got some ideas.
Love to hear them.
One idea I have is calling cards.
Calling cards.
Calling cards. Ethiopians, El Salvadorians, they love this shit.
So you want me to sell calling cards on the show?
I got 1,200 units fell off the back of a truck of calling cards. I think maybe for the you, me, them, everyone, we move some units.
Everybody.
I think... I got another idea.
What's the other idea?
Satin jackets.
Satin jackets.
We should all wear a satin jacket that all matches each other.
I'm wearing a satin jacket.
So everyone knows what crew we're in. Hey, it's you. Hey, it's me. Hey, it's everybody in the whole world. It's us.
I like this idea.
That's how people know what crew that we're in because we got the satin jackets together. Hey, I got another
idea. I'd love to hear it.
For the show.
Of course.
I got this neighbor, okay? This guy's a real smart, tough guy, right? He has contacts in Metro Police. Apparently, we got a snitch in our crew.
In Salt Lake City?
No, in the you, me, them, everybody.
Oh, we do?
We have a snitch in our crew. And it's not me. And I know it's not you.
No, it can't be.
So who does that leave in our crew right now?
Them?
Or everybody.
Everybody. Yeah, everybody could be it too.
Or I was thinking.
Go ahead.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
Possibly.
Listening.
This band guy you've got tonight. Where does he come from? Have you done the background check on this band guy that you have tonight?
He told me he was from Blues Traveler. I believed him. I didn't. That's it.
Let me tell you something. If Mike Smith knows two things, the first is the lineup of the 1987 New York Giants. The second... The second thing that Mike Smith, who has lived in Utah his entire life knows.
Yes?
Is how to spot a fucking snitch.
You think?
I think his tattoos, what do they have on them? Maybe little birdies? Maybe tweet tweet to the police?
I don't.
Speaking of jackets, I'm thinking we should get jackets for a crew.
Of course, I agree. We already went over that.
Next thing I want to talk about is these waste disposal contracts. Everyone has shit they need to throw out, okay? We go to the government, we grease a couple palms. We go to the governor of Utah.
The governor of Utah.
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney.
And we tell him, hey, we want to get these contracts, okay? We want to get these contracts because everyone throws out shit. Everyone throws out shit, okay? I don't really understand what this bit is right now. What I'm doing on this stage right now.
Well, Mike, I want to thank you for the time that you've spent. Your semester is almost over. I'm definitely going to give you the highest recommendation.
I'm working hard at getting a business degree.
I think you're gonna go far in life. And you don't sound like somebody from Utah. You don't sound like a 21-year-old. You have an intense knowledge of things that are highly illegal. But I'm happy that I met you. And if there's anything I could ever do for you in your career, let me know, because you've made a friend in me, and I think that you're going to have a lot of success in your future.
So you got this Letterman fella. He's stepping down, okay? Who's going to take his place? This is what I'm thinking. All right, I'm going to sit back down. Who's going to take his place? I'm going to sit back down for a second, okay?
Is this a rhetorical question, or am I supposed to respond?
My sister's cousin, who's not my cousin, even though she's my sister. I don't know how that works. My sister's cousin does the nails, okay, of Paul Schaefer's wife. Paul Schaefer, the piano guy from Letterman, okay? What we do is we go up to Paul Schaefer. We grease a couple palms, okay? We spread some money around. We tell them we're power players. We're here to play. And pretty soon, it's going to be the Brandon Weatherbone Show on CBS. Call up Les Moonves. All right, I think I lost the audience. I think this bit was over 5 minutes ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for my intern, Mike Smith
from Utah,
everybody. Utah. Whole life in Utah. Beautiful. Hey, Mike, could you get me a whiskey, club soda, lime? You are my intern, after all. That'd be very nice. Coming to stage is a wonderful man, and he gives advice. He does it every week in British Young Things. His column is called You Are Here. He's a fantastic person. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for one of my favorites, Mr. Andrew Bucket, everybody. Here we go. That might be the most appropriate music Andrew Bucket has ever walked on stage to. Thank you, Ryan. That was beautiful.
What a cool toy you've got here.
I would like to point out to the listener at home that Andrew Bucket came to the stage with a shot and a beer combo, which is served here at the Wonderland Ballroom.
Naturally.
It's a shot of Jim Beam and a can of Genesee Cream Ale, a beer that's horrible to drink, but he's drinking it through a straw.
Mm-hmm. I always drink beer with a straw. I learned that from Bruce Springsteen.
Does he really do that?
Yeah, he does.
Maybe that's why I think he's a piece of shit.
You know the album The River?
Is that about drinking through a straw?
Completely inspired by drinking beer through a straw. He drank at least a 12-pack through a straw recording that album.
Not in a day, like over the course
recording, which was 3 months.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
We've all been there. I know that's a lie. I wish it wasn't. I would actually really like Bruce Springsteen if he did that.
Adam Friedland told me that Bruce Springsteen doesn't even have a drop of alcohol. Yeah, he's sober.
He's sober, wow. He works out every day.
Mm-hmm. In a white T-shirt with grease stains that are somehow there. He doesn't do auto work or anything. I think he pre-buys them on Etsy with grease stains. There's a...
Perfect.
Yeah.
Give him money. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like the band The Hold Study?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Please do.
The dude from the Hold Steady sounds Breakfin. Exactly like the lead singer of the band from Empire Records that plays at the end.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. And I
no,
can't.
No, he doesn't.
Sugar high. I was outside. And then I got high.
Sugar high.
Sugar high. They agree. They know what I'm talking about.
No, they just like the idea of you referencing something that
they
know about.
I have DVDs of Empire Records for sale at my merch table, which is back there. I'm also selling Bruce Springsteen greasy tees. Let's go. Marketing.
You are here.
Yeah. So, well, I wanted to talk to you because we're now into April, and I think winter is finally not coming. What's up, Thrones? And Game of Thrones premieres
oh,
this
I get
Sunday.
It. Yeah, all right, okay, I'm yeah. sorry.
So, anyway, whatever. April is finally here. It's going to be spring, and I feel like we all need to redefine our vibes for spring and summer.
I love this idea.
And what you need to do is start with your room. My room's pretty fucked up and messy. I have clothes everywhere, a lot of laundry. And if you want to redefine your vibe for spring and summer, you need to start with your room, pick up all the underpants and all of the clothing and put it into a sack and then take it down and you need to wash that stuff.
Hang up all your,
do you guys like leave your... Okay, when I wear a jacket, I'll just kind of like... I have like 12 jackets on the ground. Are you guys like me? See, I kind of assume that
people... Why do you own so many jackets?
I have a lot of jackets. She's got it.
She's also not on mic.
No, she's not on mic. A woman in the audience just said that ain't nothing wrong with owning a lot of jackets. And
that could be the premise for your life.
That's actually the bio on my Twitter profile.
Change it right now.
Yeah,
no, I'm not joking. Change
you
it.
Want me? That's going to take forever.
No, it's like maybe 4 minutes. It's a
all right,
6 minute
segment.
I'm going
to do it while I'm talking.
We could do
it.
I'll do it.
All right. So, okay. So this is basically my plan for redefining.
What's your password? Say it in the mic.
4200.
4200.
So.
Good-ass password, bro.
Redefining your vibe for spring and summer is all about sort of a vibe change, which is like you need to start by getting some new gear. And I know a lot of you guys might be cool and like just like, oh, I don't go shopping. That's like materialistic or whatever. And it's like, listen, your vibe begins and ends with your appearance. And so if you want to redefine your vibe, you need to go get some new clothes. And there's nothing wrong with that. Personally, my vibe for spring and summer is I want to look like an art teacher that's running from his past. So, so I've been really going to a lot of, you know, J. Crew is great for that vibe, and I've been going to The Crew. It has nothing to do with the fact that my sister works there and I get 60% off of stuff. Nothing to do with that. I completely like their Oxfords and their... chambray shirts. I just learned the word chambray last week. Do you know what it means, Brandon?
No. Please inform me.
It's like a light acid washed denim, apparently. I was at a bar and a girl told me like, oh, you're wearing chambray. Like, that's awesome. And I was like, yeah, because I meant to. So the other thing, basically when you're coming out of winter, it's like rocking a car in the snow. You just got to like do arbitrary things that seem like you're like busy or whatever, but they're just things that just get you moving, you know?
Stop talking. Follow Andrew on Twitter @AndrewBucket. His current profile is ain't nothing wrong with a lot of jackets.
Did you change it?
Yeah.
All right, now we're cooking. Do I need to quote you on that? Are you like a?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. So another thing I like to do is to you can busy yourself, and I don't mean to be like too tender or anything, but if you have roommates, a good busying yourself activity is to go out and buy a small gift for each one of your roommates just because.
That is a nice tip.
Isn't that nice to
that
do?
That is a nice tip.
Well, I would recommend maybe going to a chocolatier or a toffee shop and just getting a small little treat.
You just improved the tip.
Yeah, I just improved the
what
tip.
What a great improvement of an already great tip.
Yeah, you know, don't buy anything perishable. Don't go to like Cowgirl Creamery and buy like a Gorgonzola and then leave it under their pillow because that, like, I don't know. There's nothing worse than cheese in your hair if you're like hooking up with somebody. It's happened. It's happened.
From the mouths of babes.
Ask Bill Metzger. It's happened. He didn't...
I don't know what that means.
It doesn't mean anything. So the other thing, is you don't have to, you know, a lot of people like to work out. They think, you know what, I need a hot new sexy body to go with my redefined vibe for spring and summer. Now, all of us would like a hot new sexy body, right? Of course you would. But you could just like be chilling on your own body, and like as long as your vibe is intact, it doesn't matter if you have a hot new sexy body for spring and summer. You can just be redefining your vibe. So the other thing is just knowing about cool new music. Now, that sounds like a hipster thing to say, but I guarantee you, and this is what I've started doing, I have a note in my phone, which is called Cool New Music to Know About to Contribute to My Redefined Vibe for Spring and Summer. So, yeah, oh, of course, yeah. My Chem Rome is a great band to know about. I saw Dana Bell not 2 days ago. She was supposed to be on the show, wasn't she?
She died.
Yeah, but Adam Friedland was at the Improv, and she had to open for him. Oh, yeah. Judah Friedlander. I'm sorry.
That's some inside baseball.
And she told me about a person called Mo. Do you not the jam
M-
band? Not the jam band Monkeys on
M-
Ecstasy.
Oh, but it's like a slash through the O.
It's got some weird letter that only my iPhone knew about. Mo. Is that how you pronounce it? And I haven't listened to that yet. Yeah, this is pretty good. That's My Chem Rome.
That's from 2005.
Oh, is it? So that's not exactly new music to know about. I would put that in my in a note in my sidekick.
One more tip. We got to close the segment.
Oh, we got to close it out. All I'm going to say is, oh, the other thing which is important is to make a note in your phone of people that you haven't talked to in a while. And then all you have to do, you can even set a timer for this so that it doesn't feel like you're actually giving a shit. But you just set a timer and you spend 20 minutes on the phone with somebody that you haven't talked to in a while. Ask them about their love life, their living situation, their cool hangs, and the last time that they got like super wasted. And then you have had a legitimate conversation with an old friend.
That was legitimately good advice.
All right, I know. It's all about seeming like a good person. That's what 2014 is about, for me at least. And redefining my vibe for spring and summer.
For the listener at home, I'd like to point out that Andrew is wearing what appears to be a girl's ring. Not a woman's ring, like a little girl's ring.
Yeah, so what I'm
doing... around his neck and around... And it's like with a string.
Yeah.
Like twine.
Twine.
Like you are True Detective Season 2. Like
true.
That's...
No,
and then there are three beads with the string.
Well, there's a reason that I have this on a necklace with three beads.
Please.
A girl who, and I don't know who, left this in my room, and so I'm hoping that I will run into her out, and then when she's like, that's my ring, and then it'll be a meet cute. Thank you. I'm Andrew Buckett.
Lies about everybody. Woo!
We're here to play.
Yeah. funny. It was fun. I didn't know I have even comedy. Yeah, who knew? Who knew? We were lies about tonight, and now we're playing our last song. You dig? That's what it says at the end of the set list. It has all the songs, and it says, you dig? So I just say it.